I'm Dean Jackson. He's Joe Polish. And this is the I Love Marketing Podcast.
Jackson
and Joe Polish. How you doing, Dean?
I'm good, Joe.
You like that?
Welcome back to I love that. That was great. Right on cue, just like that.
Yes.
Welcome back to episode number 2 of the I Love Marketing podcast. It's pretty exciting so far, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I honestly can't even really remember that much about what we talked about last time because I have entrepreneurial ADD. But I think we were talking towards the end about the jet ski story where I met the rich guy out on the lake, and we were jet skiing, and he gave me some incredibly good wisdom about, staying with the business I was in, or at least learning how to make a business work, because that's where we were at, right? Is that what you recall?
That's exactly where we were at. We had left a bit of a cliffhanger from last week.
So imagine, like, I'm a trained SEAL and you're the SEAL trainer. How would you like me to start? I could go right into it, Dean, but hey, there's very few people in my life I give that level of authority to, but on ilovemarketing.com, hey, we are here to serve.
Exactly.
And so you want me to just go into it?
That would be... because, last time we talked about the kind of the earliest lessons, the earliest impact of marketing on our lives and on our businesses. And now I think it's a great idea to kind of pick up that story where you were sort of a struggling carpet cleaner and thinking about getting out of the business. And then you, why don't you just kind of refresh everybody's memory about the jet ski encounter, and then we'll hear from there what you actually did with that advice.
Yeah, and I was in my 20s, and like I said, I mean, to go back to the story to kind of refresh you, I went out on this lake, and I had this carpet cleaning company. I was looking for something else to get into where I could make some real money, and I explained to this rich, wealthy individual that I had a carpet cleaning company, and I wanted to go into something else, and since he did really well, any recommendations he had for a business I could go into, and he asked me if other people were making money in the business I was in, and I said yes, and he said, well, if there's other people making money and you're not, there's nothing wrong with the business, there's something wrong with you, and of course, I defended myself with how I'd gotten certified, and I was trained, and I knew the technical side of the business, and he basically said, well, if you want to go into another business, you're going to spend another 6 months, another year, another 2 years learning the technical skills of another business so you can go out and repeat the same business habits that have caused you to be a failure in the business you're in right now. And so what you need to do, young man, is learn fundamental business skills and figure out how to make business work, because once you do, you can then take those skills into any business. And so even if you hate the business you're in, if you at least know how to make profits with it, there's certain fundamental things that you need to that if you know them and you've learned them, they apply to all different types of businesses. So that's when I sort of made a pact to myself that quit thinking that the grass is always greener on the other side, figure out how to make this business work. Other people, were doing well that, like I think I'd mentioned in the last podcast we did, that I'm young. I live in a great country. There's lots of opportunity. There's other people that are doing well. Figure out what the people that are doing well are doing. And that's when I started reading. And one of the very, so I went back from this jet ski trip with this pack that I am not going to get out of the carpet cleaning business until I figure out how to make it work. And so I didn't know if I'd ever get out of it at all. And I mean, even to this day, I'm still in the cleaning and restoration industry. I just do something different in it. So people, can still stay within their same, careers, industries, occupations. They can do many different things with them. You know, I mean, Bill Gates is doing something much different in the computer industry than he was the first time he even, you know, conceived of Microsoft. I mean, we all know that. So you can, you know, grow in many different ways. So what I did is I came back from that trip, and, you know, I'm going to talk about something, Dean, and you can pipe in and interrupt me at any time. I started, you know, on this mission to figure out what should I learn? What do I need to learn in order to make business work? Because the guy didn't give me an answer to my biggest problem, and the biggest problem was that I simply didn't know how to generate business. What he did do was he gave me a mindset. He gave me a perspective that, you know, what are other people doing that you're not? And I started thinking about that. So one of the first books I came across wasn't a marketing book. However, it kind of set the stage for me to be sort of very open to being, you know, coachable. Because, like, my first introduction to marketing was a Gary Halbert newsletter that a guy had given me, and that's what really started me on the path to marketing. But even before that happened, and I'll talk about that today, was I read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber as one.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it was one of the first books I read, and I just loved that book. I mean, I love the message behind it, where you can systemize and automate a business, and, you know, what if you ran your business like a franchise? What if you had to set your business up so there were, you know, 10 of them, 100 of them, 1,000 of them? You know, what would you do differently, you know?
When I first read that book, that was the – I mean, I can't tell you how many people that book is the turning point for their lives. Like, that was fascinating to me to – because it was speaking my language. He was talking about creating a business that works when you're not working. I loved that idea. Hey, I'm going to talk a little bit about that too, but you go ahead. So I can one-up you.
Yeah, because, you know, seriously, I love marketing for all of our listeners is all about me and Dean just one-upping each other. You know, because he's of the opinion that he's smarter than me, and I, of course, I mean, there's thousands of people that would disagree with that, but I'm kidding. We both have, hopefully, our own areas, and, you know, Dean is just a genius, and it's hard for me to even say that. Did you see I had to lower my voice? It's crazy.
You did have to lower your voice.
We're not even in the same room together. You know, we're across the country, and it's still hard for me to say that. So when I read The E-Myth, one thing that really struck me was this whole idea of systemization, where you can, you know, automate things. However, unlike a lot of people that I think have read that book, I sort of thought of it differently. I thought of, if there's any area of business that is the most important to systemize and automate, it's the one area of business that's responsible for bringing in the money. You know, because you can automate a computer system, you can automate a filing system, you can write a standard operation procedures, you know, how to hire people, and, I mean, how to take out the trash, you know, I mean, there's answer the phone. I mean, there's a bunch of different, you know, divisions of a company. And here I have this carpet cleaning company, and, you know, how do you set up the van? How do you take, you know, the hoses out of the back of a truck for a truck mount? I mean, there's all these little procedural things that you can do to automate and systemize a process. And the thing that I really thought about the most was, you know, how do I automate selling? Because if I can systemize that, I mean, that makes business much easier. Then you don't have to rely on, you know, so much human effort to do it. And that's where my mind was, but I just didn't know how to piece it all together. It wasn't until I had a friend give me my very first issue of the Gary Halbert letter, and I started reading it, that I pieced it all together. And also, little did I know that 3 years from that period of time, Michael Gerber would actually hire me for a day of consulting to come down to the E-Myth Academy and give him marketing advice. And at the time, he had told me, this was back in 1997, he had told me that the day that he had spent with me was the best day he had ever spent with a marketing consultant talking about marketing.
Isn't that funny how you... You know, isn't that funny how when we're reading these things, I mean, here we are in such kind of local businesses. Nobody knew who we were. We weren't in the business of training yet. We were still trying to figure out our own businesses, right? And
reading this
book that's so impactful, and then you doing consulting with Michael Gerber, and we used to bring Michael Gerber to come and speak at – he came to speak at about two or three main events that we did in the – mid-90s, same thing. So it's kind of funny how you get to meet these people who were so impactful for us, you know, including like Gary Halbert and Jay Abraham and all these guys who, you know, we were studying them. And then all of a sudden we get to, because of applying all of the things that we learned from them and growing our own businesses and growing our own sort of sphere of influence in the marketing world, that we get to become friends with these people and get to be peers with them. And it's an amazing journey.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, and it really boils down to, if people want to know the secret to it, apply what it is that people are teaching you. And if you apply what it is that we are sharing with you, there's no telling how far this knowledge will take you. I mean, you know, one thing, I'm a professional name dropper and I know a lot of people. And what I'm known for is, like, you know, just being a connector between, you know, when my top friends and clients need to know somebody, they'll ask, you know, who can do this? Who could do that? How do I meet this person? And, you know, people, you know, I mean, that's why I do trips to Necker Island with Richard Branson now, and I just keep shooting for the moon.
With who now?
Are you joking?
Yeah, Richard who now?
Right, Vesavi, okay. Yeah, who's that guy? Basically, I need to make a correction, too, because I said 3 years later Michael Gerber would have hired me. Actually, it was 3 years after I started my marketing business that he hired me. But actually, at that time, when I first read the E-Myth, that was in 1992. And so it was really 5 years later from the time I first read his book to where, you know, I'd actually met him in person and hired him and all that. He hired me, hired him. I actually did sign up for his E-Myth program in the very beginning, and that's because I just, you know, I love the whole concept. However, knowing how to systemize and automate, you know, something has absolutely nothing to do with making money if you don't focus on marketing. And so the marketing is what made all the difference in the world. I mean, I remember I met Dan Kennedy very early on, too. Dan wrote a lot of my sales letters and a lot of the copy and would speak at all of my conferences the first 9 years of my, you know, info marketing business when I went from taking this small carpet cleaning company, and in a matter of 6 months after being introduced to Gary Halbert, you know, style marketing, I took this cleaning company that, you know, it's doing $2,100 a month in revenue, and I built it to over $12,000 a month with this single van in a 6 month period, and I had in that period of time quickly developed all these cool automated systems before the internet in order to generate business, and I'd like to talk about a few of those things. It's just in the process of doing that, I turned this little carpet cleaning company around. It was still small, and I, you know, had dreams and aspirations of building the largest carpet cleaning company in Phoenix. I mean, that's what I was thinking about right when I first got introduced to marketing, is how can I build this big, giant company and, you know, we'll be everywhere, and I now know how to generate business and get jobs. You know, how big can I make this thing grow? Right. And where my passion was, though, is every day, every night, I would just want to read marketing. I would want to study marketing. I'd want to read all these books that Gary Halbert was recommending, like the Robert Collier Letter Book and Scientific Advertising and, you know, Tested Advertising Methods by John Caples and, you know, all kinds of, you know, Ogilvy on Advertising, all these classic marketing books. And that's where my passion was. And I was studying all this stuff on direct mail and direct marketing. And most people that were teaching it, at least teaching anything that was worth teaching, not the crap that's taught in most universities about marketing, I actually, you know, most of them were information publishers. And so that's how I kind of fell into, well, you know, instead of building this big carpet cleaning company, maybe I'm better served to focus on where my passion is at, which is really this one niche within the cleaning industry, which is like job getting. You know, how to generate jobs, and because I love to make the phone ring. I mean, it amazed me that you can change the message on an ad or a flyer or in the yellow pages, and it would, you know, sometimes 10 times the response. Or you could take some marketing piece, some flyer, some Valpak type ad that wasn't working at all, and you just tweak the message, and all of a sudden you'd be getting a ton of calls, and you know that sort of stuff. So. You're saying a lot, so I want you to say something.
I mean, I'm fascinated because I'm listening to the evolution here of it, you know? And so I'm interested to hear what the very first application of this learning of direct response into your carpet cleaning business. So you know, you started discovering this. What were you doing to get business before you started applying direct response? What kind of marketing were you doing, and what kind of strategies were you using?
Yeah, I was actually spending, like I mentioned in the very first podcast that we did, was I was living off credit cards, so I was I was running ads in the Yellow Pages, but they were like a blown up version of my business card, name, rank, and serial number, and that's what a lot of websites are today. They're just the electronic version of a blown up version of someone's business card. They got their logo, they got their name, they have, you know, it's this image advertising. And I was putting out flyers, two rooms in a hallway for $39.95. And I remember I used to have this little line that said, "We will beat any advertised price." And I actually used to believe that people would clean carpets for $6.95 a room, because they would run those bait and switch ads too. And in big cities like Los Angeles and Phoenix and Chicago and Houston and you name it, any big city in the U.S. there's bait and switch, and bait and switch doesn't just apply to carpet cleaning. It's in all industries. Dentists they even do it. A lot of every type of industry where they advertise a ridiculously low price in the hopes of getting the foot in the door, and then they rely on upselling. And there's nothing wrong with upselling. There's nothing wrong with wanting people to buy more. It's how you go about doing it that's the difference. Not putting – people love to be sold. They hate to be pressured. So it's one of those – it's one of the ways of using pressure selling and that sort of stuff. And so I was advertising just really low prices. I was handing out business cards, and I was doing a lot of manual marketing. If you don't have what we now call, elf marketing, easy, lucrative, and fun, automated marketing strategies, the same stuff that you have successfully used for many, many years, Dean, that you've taught thousands of people how to use, that sort of stuff, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of manual marketing where you literally call people, you knock on doors. I'd go to restaurants and I'd hand out business cards. I was getting business by going to apartment complexes, and that just sucked, because I'm allergic to cats. I failed to mention that. And I would get these apartment units in the middle of summer. Cleaning carpets is hard enough work as it is. But in the middle of summer in Phoenix, where you can go into an apartment that doesn't have any electricity, and you have to carry a portable steam cleaner up three flights of stairs, and you have to have an extension cord plugged into electricity somewhere downstairs, and you go into a unit that there's no AC, and you're doing hard manual labor, and you're sweating. It's like working in a sauna. And then when you're allergic to cats and you're wheezing because you can't breathe, that just sucks. And there were days where I'd spend all day doing that. And, but I was committed. I wanted to figure out how to I didn't want to work for anyone. I was an entrepreneur, damn it. And I don't care that I'm going bankrupt here. I'm going to figure out how to make this crap work. And that was sort of, Dan Sullivan, our friend, the founder of Strategic Coach, says there's two things you need when you first start a business. You need ignorance and you need courage. I had a lot of both, I guess. I just didn't know what I didn't know. And so not knowing what I didn't know kind of kept me in it. It's still swinging at the bat, but also it also kept me stuck, because I had no idea that my biggest problem with generating business was knowing how to craft a compelling message and make sure that the right people see it so that they can respond. Because marketing is basically what you say and who you say it to. And so what I was saying was lousy, and who I was saying it to was lousy. I was going after low-price apartment complexes where the management would take 30, 60, 90 days sometime to even pay you. But that's how I survived in the beginning. I just got a few, apartment complexes that would throw me, a few units, here and there when people were moving out, having to get them ready. And that's what I did. But before this marketing stuff showed up, I'd get occasionally a few residential homes. But honest to God, I would literally walk through neighborhoods and put really kind of lame price-based flyers on their doors, and if there was anyone there, I would talk to them, and I would literally try to sell them, you know, face-to-face if I could, because you know, when you're starving, you need to eat. So,
right.
You know, being hungry is a good motivator to get off your ass and do something. So that's kind of what I did, and so that was where I was at, and I don't want to bore everyone with all the miserable details of it. I mean, I think most people have probably either have their own version of that or might be in the middle of it. And so what did I do first? Well, I had this guy give me a copy of the Gary Halbert newsletter, and I read the first, and I remember specifically it was the issue about the Halbert Index. And what we'll do at some point is we'll post this on ilovemarketing.com and let people read the very first issue that I read that got me into marketing. It was in 1992, and he talked about the Halbert Index, the things that you need to be successful in business. And basically in the issue, it talked about, you know, smart people. Well, I first said to the guy that gave me this newsletter, I said, "Where do you get this?" And he said, "Well, I subscribe to it." I said, "How much does it cost?" And he said $197 a year. And, you know, back in 1992, you know, that was a good chunk of money. And yeah. I said, "Well, what do you get for it?" He goes, "Well, you get that newsletter every month." I go, "It's this 8-page newsletter." He's like, "Yeah." I go, "That's all you get?" He's like, "Yeah." I go, and I swear to God, Dean, I did this. I got a calculator. I said, "That's, you know, $16.25 an issue. I mean, you can get a book for, you know, less than that." I mean, and he said, "Joe, you're the last person I thought that would say something like that. Continue to read it." So that was about, you know, 4 pages into the newsletter that I made this comment where I stopped reading it. And I continued on, and 2 pages later, about 6 pages into that issue, it said something like, "Smart people are the ones that value information, that don't value information by the pound. They value it by the quality, and that a real player..." And he talked about players with money in that newsletter, that a real player would rather pay, you know, $1,000 for, I think, 10 pages of, you know, valuable information than, you know, $10 for 300 pages of fluff. And so what I first got was I got a marketing mindset that don't, you know, the value of something is based on, you know, what you get out of it. And the whole newsletter was about, you know, just real players with money. And what do players with money invest in? What do they spend their money on? They spend their money on speed. They spend their money on things that will save their time, that will allow them to do things differently. And what do the smartest people subscribe to? They subscribe to educational materials. You know, they go to seminars. They subscribe to newsletters. And that's what kind of hooked me. And so I signed up for $197 for this newsletter, and one of this bonus came with it, which was Gary Halbert's book, How to Make Maximum Money in Minimum Time. And that was one of my to this day, one of my favorite marketing books. And all it was a compilation of some of his past issues of his newsletter.
Yeah,
and,
I got it too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm listening. Yeah. I mean, we've talked a little bit about this, but I it's amazing to see step for step the path early on, how, you know, this is before we even knew each other. We're on identical paths so far.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In a very close time frame too. I mean, right around, you know, give or take a year or two, we're both right around there. And I think you might have even started. When did you first get introduced to marketing?
Right around that same time. Yeah. So like 1991, 1992, right around there. That was.
Yeah.
I mean, to direct response marketing. I always have been interested in advertising and all that kind of stuff. But I would say that my real education really started with the E-Myth. That was the big breakthrough book, and then it started with an introduction to Jay Abraham, and to from there, Gary Halbert ran ads in Success Magazine. Like, I subscribed to the Gary Halbert newsletter very early on. I don't remember whether it was 1991, 1992, somewhere in there, but he would run ads in Success Magazine that were like, "Free report reveals 14 ways to I forget what the actual headline was, but he listed them, and they were like, you know, how to get the name, address, and telephone number of everyone in your city who's likely to be your customer.
Right,
and how to, you know, all these things, like point by point, which were basically the chapters of the book. And so you call in and you order, you just leave your name and your email address. I mean, this is, you know, he's using free recorded messages, not your email address. You call and you leave your name and your mailing address. And he mailed you a letter that told you how to get the free book. It felt, you know, it was funny because my initial reaction to it was that it felt a little bait and switch at the very beginning, because it was saying free book reveals how, you know, all these things, and you call this phone number and leave your address, and then you get a letter with, it was a dollar bill letter that he mailed, and I was like, yeah, what's going on here? You know, somebody getting money in the mail? And the letter went on to tell you how you can get the free book when you subscribe to his newsletter. And so it was, I thought the free book was coming. You know, I thought that's what I was ordering. But I subscribed to the newsletter anyway, and I got the book, and it was just, it was fantastic. It was wonderful. You know, that whole world then became an obsession for me.
Yeah, and you know, Gary was, I think, one of the very, first off, Gary Halbert was a tormented, demonized person in so many ways, and he was also a funny, irreverent, just brilliant marketing genius. I mean, truly.
Yeah.
And I mean, so many, you know, but Gary would burn bridges with some people because he became a really close friend of mine, and you know, I mean, I'm still very good friends with his sons, and they, you know, I'm a lot of stuff that we have where we're, you know, going to be putting out a lot, already have a lot of Gary Halbert materials. I've got the XXX, you know, Halbert consultation I did with him, which is, I recorded, you know, back in 97 when I was doing a lot of work, right when I first started doing a lot of work with Bill Phillips, when he had, you know, had company EAS and writing the book Body for Life at the time and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, Gary was very involved with helping Bill with, Bill learned a ton of stuff about marketing. Gary Halbert gave Dan Kennedy his first copywriting job for $500. You know, he taught Ben Suarez how to write copy, you know, before the...
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, the impact.
Yeah, yeah, totally. You know, I mean, so the whole impact of it. And, Gary was a character, but he really knew how to explain the importance of marketing using copy. And what I never realized was the value of words. That, you know, one thing I would always say, and I still do to this day, you know, the difference between a $1 bill and a $100 bill is the message on the paper. And even when Gary would send a dollar bill to the top of a letter, you know, that was, you know, a very powerful headline, even without using words. You know, if someone mails you something and there's money attached to the top of it, it doesn't matter if it's a penny or a dollar or $10 or $100 bills or whatever, it's pretty darn impactful. You know, he would always say, you know, in order to people of America sort their mail out over a wastebasket. And it's going to go into two piles, either the A pile, which is everything that is personal or appears personal, or the B pile, which is everything that is junk or looks like junk. And he said that if you want people to respond to your offer, for one, you better make sure it gets delivered open and read. And one of the ways to make sure it gets delivered is use what's going to be the highest likelihood of deliverability. Send it either FedEx, send it through, you know, some sort of priority mail or overnight mailing, or, you know, people have to sign for it, or use a first class stamp. Don't use bulk mail. You know, don't make it look like, you know, don't put teaser copy on the outside that would say something like how to, you know, save 50% off your subscription to Time Magazine. He's like, it immediately yells out that's a sales pitch. You want it to look like a personal letter that, you know, Aunt Minnie was sending, because if it gets open and then boom, then you got to capture their attention once they open it. And that's where he would use dollar bill letters, headlines, very powerful copy. And, you know, that, so even the way he sold to me and got me hooked into it had a lot to do with me understanding how it worked even before I started applying it. Because you asked me what are some of the first things that I did, and I'll tell you a couple of the things. one of the very first things I did was I learned the whole concept of education-based marketing. And if someone really wants to understand marketing and wants to read what every great copywriter will always, you know, consider just a fantastic, one of the best marketing books ever, read Scientific Advertising by Claude Hopkins. I mean, it was written in the, you know, early 1900s, but, you know, that's just a great primer for what I'm going to talk about. And I mean, you've been teaching this for many, many years, Dean. But basically, I got the whole concept of copy. Educate people about what it is you're doing so that they're not making the decision, you know, totally based on price. So I'd hired a copywriter, a low-level copywriter, paid him $1,800 just based on conceptually what I had in mind from what I learned from Gary Halbert's newsletters. You got to have a really good sales letter. So it's like, okay. So I started writing some sales letters, changed the offers and things on my, you know, my business card. I put a free recorded message. Then I got a red stamp at the time that said, warning, don't call any carpet cleaner till you listen to this free recorded message. Call anytime, 24 hours a day. And I would stamp that on the back of my, you know, current boring business card that said the name of my company, the phone number, residential or commercial. You know, I mean, it said basically nothing. So I used a free recorded message. That was one of the first things I did on a business card. But I hired this copywriter to talk to me for, it took about a month to actually get this done. Well, he was asking me questions about, you know, all of the things that people didn't know about carpet cleaning, but they didn't know these things. And so,
right.
So it doesn't sound confusing. It's all of the things that your prospects don't know that they don't know. So I came up with this whole thing of, and I'm doing all this off memory because I've done this a lot, but I had this consumer awareness guide to carpet cleaning. It was a half, you can imagine, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper folded over, and it's laid out, and there's, you know, word processing is not like it is today. I mean, you can do this stuff, you know, online.
Oh, I know.
You have videos. I mean, it's all kind of, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff. But basically, it said, read this guide and you'll discover 6 costly misconceptions about carpet cleaning, 8 mistakes to avoid when choosing a carpet cleaner, 7 questions to ask a carpet cleaner before you invite him into your home, crawling critters and crud, a guide to the slime, grime, and livestock that's seeping, creeping, and galloping through your carpet, how to avoid four carpet cleaning ripoffs, the difference between value and price, you know, how to get your carpet cleaner to 100% guarantee their work, and much, much more. You know, open this guide to learn, you know, and they'd open it up and it would start out saying, you know, dear homeowner, choosing a carpet cleaner isn't easy. Why? Because you're bombarded with, to unqualified technicians, to near worthless method, to bait and switch, you know, companies. You know, how do you ever find a qualified, competent carpet cleaner? You start by reading this guide. In this guide, you'll learn, and then it reiterated what it said on the cover. And we wrote this guide, you know, to help you make an informed, intelligent decision. And, you know, and that's the key because, you know, people don't want to make an uninformed, stupid decision. They want to make an informed, intelligent decision. And so I basically taught them in this guide everything they needed to know to choose a carpet cleaner. And the funny thing was is it wasn't totally biased towards my company. I mean, if they never hired me, the consumer would learn a tremendous amount of valuable things that they would need to know, and they would simply know how to hire someone. And that was like a contrarian way where people don't want to give up their trade secrets or don't want to explain how they do things or, you know, God forbid they would actually help someone in their advertising actually not only why they should hire this company, but how to actually hire that sort of service. You know, like how do you buy a DVD player? How do you buy a television? You know, how do you buy a computer? How do you buy a car? I mean, they're all like price, 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 buy from us, you know, and they're even to this day, there's a tremendous amount of education-based marketing that's lacking in every industry. And so not that the information isn't out there. I mean, with things like Google, you know, now we have all kinds of great ways that we can do research, and people that don't understand good marketing today are more commoditized than ever. I mean, but they were still very commoditized back then because everybody chose a carpet cleaner based on price. And why do people, you know, say how much you charge for something? Well, void of any other criteria to make a buying decision, people always default to price. So before I learned this, my main buying, you know, premise was I'll give you a good deal. But after I created this consumer awareness guide, I then paid the copywriter another $250 to take the consumer guide and turn it into a 24-hour free recorded message script. And so then, like, here's what happened. I got magnetic signs that said, warning, don't call any carpet cleaner to you. Listen to this 24-hour free recorded message. And I slapped that on the side of my van. So when I was driving around, you know, people could get the phone number. I put it on my business cards. I put it on all my flyers. I ran a phone book ad that said that. I also came up with another, I needed an irresistible offer. And so the irresistible offer I came up with was a free room of carpet cleaning up to 200 square feet and a carpet audit. And I came up with this process that not only included the offer, which is a free room of carpet cleaning, but it also included the carpet audit. And the carpet audit was a system of evaluating the condition of someone's carpet in their home so that when I went in there, I was not doing what everyone else was doing, which was giving them an estimate. Everyone's like, we'll get free estimates. Like, well, okay, free estimate. What's that mean? Free estimate means free sales pitch. And so, you know, no one wants a free sales pitch. I mean, of course it's going to be a free estimate. I mean, how many people pay for estimates? So I wanted to do something valuable, you know, so that, you know, I mean, could you imagine, you know, let's go to the auto mechanic and let's pay for an estimate. I mean, and some industries actually do, of course, depending on what it is, but you need to call it something different. You know, what you call something is critical. You know, that changes the whole perspective in perceived value. You know, there's most business owners you talk to, even lousy ones, actually think they're valuable. You know, and you could be.
The funny thing, though, I'll give you like the funniest reframe that you'll ever hear. You know the cafe by my office where I go every morning. The girl there, Christy, so she's been making these cookies that are like with oatmeal and you know, all good stuff in the cookies. But she reframed it. She puts a basket of them out in the morning with a sign that says breakfast cookies. And people gobble them up. I mean, it's just the funniest thing to call them breakfast cookies.
But you know what? Seriously, how important is that little example? You know, people. You know, J. Abraham would always talk about it. You know, the famous line that you know, all human beings are secretly wanting to be led. I mean, absolutely, people don't want to think. I mean, look around the world. You know, people only do what they want to do. You know,
excuse. Like, oh, well, it's okay to have a cookie for breakfast because these are breakfast cookies.
Exactly.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, I started using all this education-based marketing stuff, and all of a sudden, I no longer got phone calls that said, how much do you charge? If I did get a call like that, I'd say, oh, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, let me, if you would like, and this is before the internet. See, Dean, this is so much easier to do today because now all you need is someone's email.
I know.
And you don't even need to talk to them. I mean, they can opt into your website, and you can just automatically send them your free report or your educational video. I mean, today we now have, you know, carpet cleaners all over the world that use, you know, consumer awareness DVD. They have it uploaded on their iPads. You know, we have, you know, links that they put on the websites that, you know, give them an educational video on how to choose a carpet cleaner. I now created ethicalservices.com, which I first created in 1999 when I went on ABC's 2020, and that show was viewed by 20 million people in the U.S., and I was, you know, dressed up, you know, I had long hair and a ponytail hidden behind a little hat that said Pope John Paul II comes to St. Louis, because that was the only hat that we could find, I think, at like Kmart early in the morning before we did the sting operation with 2020. And I created this, you know, so now my consumer awareness guide has been, you know, been read and viewed by just, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And basically, you know, I mean, back in, you know, 1992, when I first started using direct response, I had a little booklet and I had a free recorded message. And so people that would call up, I'd say, you know, if you'd like, I'll send you a consumer awareness guide and it'll teach you everything you need to know on how to choose a carpet cleaner. Or if you want to write this phone number down, go ahead and listen to this free recorded message and it'll teach you everything you need to know. And if you would like to do business with me after you've listened to that, go ahead and call me back. And if not, it'll at least tell you what you need to know. And by taking that sort of approach, in a lot of ways, it was kind of like not begging for business. You know, I mean, you know, it was proper positioning. And then people, they would call that free recorded message, and they would call me back and say, I want to do business with you. And the phone calls were not like, how much do you charge? They were, when can you come out? And when I added the free room of carpet cleaning and a carpet audit, people would call up to schedule their free, you know, because I would have copy. I didn't just say free room of carpet cleaning and a carpet audit, because no one even knows what that means. So I have sales letters that would accompany this, and basically it would be like, we'll come out to your home, we'll give you a free room of carpet cleaning up to 200 square feet. There's no cost or obligation of any kind, and we're also going to give you a 15-minute carpet audit, and we're going to evaluate the condition of your carpet, let you know what recommendations you're going to need in order to maintain, you know, your carpet in the best you know, state possible. And then, you know, it would go on and on. And when I'd go out to the home, I actually had a form. It was going back to the e-myth. It was an automated process where what's their name? You know, how many adults, how many pets, how many children in the home? Does the vacuum use environmental filtration? Stains or spots? What are areas of concern? Does anyone in the home smoke? Is the carpet matted? You know, and all of these things where I would be able to keep track of the condition of their carpets. And then the real, real simple things that most people, you really should find out about them, but most people really don't think to put it into an automated system, where I was like, how often do you clean your carpets? And if the person put every 5 years, you know, man, this is a person that really neglects their home. But if they put every 6 months, every year, you're like, gold mine, you know, this is a person that really cares about the condition of their carpet. Have you ever purchased carpet protection? Then you never put yourself in the position of having to upsell somebody something if they've already acquired the habit of buying it. And so
right.
I would capture all this information. We do a free room of carpet cleaning, and then voila, reciprocity would kick in. Whenever you provide something of value to somebody, I mean of real value, I wasn't going in and cleaning a tiny little spot out of the middle of their, you know, living room. I mean, we were literally letting them pick one room up to 200 square feet. If they wanted to do a larger room, we'd say, well, you know, you're obviously going to have to pay for the larger room. If you, you know, so I'd really, I would, you know, every once in a while I would, you know, kind of depending
200 on. 200 square feet is a good size, that's a good size bedroom.
Yeah, it is a good size room, and it certainly is a good enough of an area to go into someone's home and clean for free. But see, I was doing this built on something I learned from listening to a J. Abraham tape, and let me share you that story real quickly. You know, it's funny how like Gary Halbert and all these, they kind of like lead to other people, because I found out about, I met Dan Kennedy through the Gary Halbert newsletter. I got reintroduced to Gary personally in a lot of ways through just being in that circle. And I met all kinds of interesting marketers in the very beginning, including getting introduced to, you know, Jay Abraham's material. It wasn't until, you know, probably a decade later that I actually first met Jay. And, you know, now Jay's a friend, and you get to know all these people. However, you know, back then, I got this cassette tape because Jay Abraham was pitching a really expensive seminar, and he sent out some tapes, audio cassette tapes, if people can remember those. about,
remember.
You know, yeah, and this was his way of instilling reciprocity.
I got that exact one. Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, and so there was, he told this story of two carpet cleaners that wanted to hire him, and at the time, Jay Abraham was like $3,000 an hour. And, you know, he always touted himself as being the most expensive, you know, marketing consultant that you could hire. And so basically, these carpet cleaners didn't have $3,000. They scraped together, these two guys, young guys, scraped together $2,000, and Jay gave them 45 minutes of consulting and taught them in that 45 minutes lifetime value of a customer, the concept of lifetime value of a customer, that you don't know how much you can afford to spend to acquire a customer until and unless you know how much they're actually worth to you in the lifetime they're going to do business with you. So, as an example, you know, say at the time, an average carpet cleaning job, $150 to $200. Let's say it's $200. Well, if they clean their carpets once a year, in a 5-year period, that person is worth, you know, $1,000 in revenue if you have a carpet cleaning company. And if that person refers one other person just like them, just one, only one in a 5-year period, just like them, that cleans their carpets once, you know, a year for 5 years, that's another $1,000. So instead of going into a home and thinking of, well, this is a $200 job, you go into every home thinking this person's worth $2,000 to me if I do a really good job of wowing them and impressing them. And so using that premise, what would you be willing to do in order to generate, you know, a client? And so, because you're going to pay for business anyway. A lot of people are like, I don't do any advertising. I'm never going to pay to business. It's like, really? You pay with time. You pay with money. You pay with energy. If you don't pay with money, you're going to pay with your time. You're going to pay with energy, unless you just happen to be so lucky that you're in a business where everyone, you know, is beating a path to your door. And a lot of people want to live in that fantasy. But the reality is, you know, I always use this example where if, like, the world's supply of toilet paper ran out tomorrow and you happen to have a garage filled with toilet paper, you don't need to be a brilliant marketer. You just get a cardboard sign. You put it in your front yard. You know, I got toilet paper, $50 a roll. You know, you can be a complete idiot and you're going to sell a lot of toilet paper because supply and demand is on your side. So if you're ever in a situation where supply and demand is, you know, I mean, where everyone in the world is buying houses and, you know, you've got, you know, a house for sale, well, now look what's happened. You know what I mean? So void of having supply and demand in your favor, being lucky, you usually have to be a little bit more sophisticated about it. And so, you know, that was sort of the situation. And so I kind of went on a tangent, but I want to let you say something before I just kind of go off, because you know how I can be, Dean.
Said I know exactly how you can be.
Yeah, it's an entrepreneurial ADD. I just keep rambling.
But it's all sort of heading in one direction, which is good, because you always come back to how it's, we're, you know, right now we're still, you know, you're at a point where you've completely switched from doing the, you know, traditional kinds of carpet cleaning advertising, and now you're advertising educationally, and people are calling you instead of you having to go out and try and, you know, just yell at people to choose you when they need to get their carpets cleaned, or trying to convince them they need their carpets cleaned.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me talk about that if I could then, because it's really important what you said. And I mean, you're a master at this, and you know this. I mean, one thing I want to reiterate to everyone listening, and we'll talk about this probably in depth in future I Love Marketing podcasts, and you're always going to hear me and Dean come back to some of the fundamentals, like education-based marketing, automated marketing, I mean, the lifetime value of a customer, you know, that sort of stuff. And when one of the things that we'll talk about a lot is before, during, and after, which you created for the real estate industry. What do you do before the job to get business? What do you do during the job to increase the average sale and to bond with the clients? What do you do after the job to make sure they keep coming back? And so when I learned lifetime value of a customer, what really dawned on me was that being in the relationship business, not the transaction business, and these two carpet cleaners that were on this tape set with Jay Abraham, you know, he said, go out and give away free carpet cleaning, give away entire homes of carpet cleaning, because when you do so, you're going to basically acquire clients. And in a, you know, 6 months or a year, they'll maybe come back. And in a lot of ways, they're going to have reciprocity, so they may refer other people to you. So these two carpet cleaners, for paying $2,000 to consult with Jay Abraham for 45 minutes, spent a month going out and literally giving away entire houses of carpet cleaning. And according to, you know, this tape set that I was listening to, these two guys built a six-figure, you know, a year carpet cleaning business, giving away free houses of carpet cleaning. They would go to county fairs, they would knock on doors, and they survived that first month by referrals and by tips that people gave them. And I thought, how can I take that same idea? That sounds pretty cool. I've been reading all this Gary Halbert stuff, so I sort of get the education-based marketing angle. How could I create an offer that is as good as that, but doesn't require me to actually have to give the entire thing away for free? So there were some companies that were teaching people to go into, there was a dry cleaning system called Host, and I had, you know, bought some Host machines, and, you know, I had a steam cleaning method, I had a dry cleaning method. You know, I was thinking, oh, let the consumer decide what they want. You know, I was going through all these evolutions of trying to figure out how to make a business work. Because at the end of the day, you know that most business owners just get up and most human beings and bumble their way through life. So, I mean, I was just trying to figure out what the hell to do. And one of the demonstrations that this company did was they would go into a commercial setting or a home, and they would like take some tape, and they would, you know, it would look kind of like duct tape it would like painter's tape, and they would put it on a square area in the carpet. They would clean the square, and then they would remove the tape, and you would clearly see this really clean contrast. And I thought, you know, that's a really cool way to demonstrate the quality of your cleaning of before and after. But I felt it was a little kind of like not the right thing to do, because you force the person to have to hire you, or they're going to have a clean square in the middle of the room, and it was a tiny little area. So I wanted to take a little bit of the Jabraham stuff of the whole house, a little bit of the demonstration, and create a very powerful, irresistible offer, and at the same time have the customer be thinking, this is totally ethical, this person provided great value, and if they liked more, they would hire me, and if they didn't, I would say thank you. I wouldn't use any high pressure. I would simply impress them and wow them with the quality of my service. And so I came up with a free room of carpet cleaning and a carpet audit. And the thing that allowed me to really make the free room really appear valuable is, before I'd start the free room of carpet cleaning, I would go in and evaluate the condition of the carpet, and I would talk to them about their carpet. I would give them a consumer awareness guide, or I made sure before I showed up they listened to the 24-hour free recorded message, so that they knew they had a professional coming over to their home. And then when they were properly positioned, then they were more likely to do business with me. And so that's what I wanted to say, that you're a total master of in the before, during, after. It's positioning. And the difference between selling and marketing: selling is when you're on the phone or face-to-face with somebody. Marketing is what you do to get someone on the phone or face-to-face with you, properly positioned, so that by the time you talk to them, they're pre-interested, pre-motivated, pre-qualified, and predisposed to do business with you. I'll say that again, because this is something that everyone should write down. When you do your marketing right, selling is easy and ideally unnecessary, because if you do your marketing right, it does your selling in advance. Really good marketing is the quickest path to the sale. Really good marketing does all of your selling in advance, and the people end up becoming pre-interested, pre-motivated, pre-qualified, and predisposed to do business with you. And that's what I first learned from Gary Halbert, how to actually create that positioning robotically through a sales letter, through a sales message, delivered by paper and ink, delivered through a free recorded message, delivered through advertising, and in today's day and age, you can deliver it through a website, you can deliver it through email, you can deliver it through, you created the first opt-in page, you can do it through Facebook, you can do it through social media. There's a lot of different ways that you can actually educate people in advance, deliver valuable information, give stuff to them, you know, for free, that sort of thing, because the number one question in all consumers' minds is, who can I trust? That's what our friend Richard Rossi says. And your job as a marketer is to establish trust and rapport so that people feel, they can do business with you. Now, if you have something that no one else has, you know, a lot of times people will do business with companies they've never heard of, because they simply, you know, they're so in love with the pitch or the offer, or they so badly need it. However, if you have a lot of competitors, you're way better positioned to have, you know, people really have trust and rapport with you. And if you understand the lifetime value of the client, you'd be willing to do a lot of things to acquire them. And so I quit doing what every other carpet cleaner was doing, which was trying to sell jobs. They would go and they'd get a job, and then they'd spend all this time, money, and energy to acquire a customer, and then they'd forget about them. They wouldn't mail them a newsletter. They wouldn't send them a thank you. They wouldn't try to get referrals. They would just try to go to their next job. And I was like, you know, it's just ridiculous. You're just chasing after new customers, and you're neglecting the ones that have already given you money. So I not only improved my marketing, but I looked at every single client I'd ever done business with, and I started communicating to them. I started mailing them monthly newsletters. I started asking them to introduce me to other people for referrals. I developed an automated referral program where every time someone would give me a name, I would send them $10 in the form of $5 $2 bills, so that they would totally remember me, because no one's going to spend a $2 bill, and every time they open up their wallet, I wanted them thinking about me and my carpet cleaning business. So, you know, that's some of many things that I started doing. in the beginning.
How long did it take you to, you know, to roll a lot of that out? Because the consumer awareness guide was the very first thing.
Probably about 3 to 4 months. It took me about three to 4 months. I mean, I instantly increased my prices. I instantly, you know, even before I wrote a sales letter, I started talking to people differently because I started realizing that, you know, wow, your customer, you know, people don't do what everyone else does. I mean, if you want to have success in business, look at what everyone else is doing and do the complete opposite, and you're probably going to do better off than trying to copy what everyone else is doing unless you're modeling the very successful. I mean, so what happens is people model idiots. They look at what all of their idiotic customers are doing. They listen to what their idiotic brother-in-law says on how to run a business. They get advice from all kinds of people that know nothing about what they're asking advice for. It's kind of like relationship advice. You know, how many people that have bad relationships talk to their other friends that have bad relationships, and everyone that has bad relationships is talking about how to have a good relationship. I mean, it's just gossip. You know, I think currently the stats on gossip in the United States are 2/3 of everything that people talk about is gossip. And, you know, as it relates to advice in business, I mean, you know, when I went on the jet ski trip, I listened to the advice of a guy that was a multimillionaire. Every one of my other friends that were broke, they all were giving me business advice. But what I learned very early on is, like, the best advice to take are from people that are actually doing it, not someone that, you know, anyone can have an opinion. But, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how many quote-unquote marketing experts are out there that have never even read a book on marketing, have never built a successful business, but they certainly, you know, think they know what they're talking about.
Do you remember the how long it took for – all this new stuff to have an impact on your revenue?
Oh yeah, well, I went from $2,100 a month average gross to $12,300 a month within 6 months. So
that's,
you know,
yeah,
more than five times the revenue of the business within a 6 month period. You know, some people say double your business in a year. I mean, I'm more than five times my business in 6 months. By simply changing the message. I didn't learn anything more about the technical side. I wasn't a quote-unquote better carpet cleaner. I simply changed the message on the paper. I conveyed a different message. And that was fascinating to me, that you can change a headline and increase response. You can change the offer. You can target a list. There's all kinds of, you know, it's literally about the offer and the list. The offer and the list. And when I say offer, that means including the copy. And when I say, you know, Gary Halbert would always say that almost any problem in the world, well, he didn't say almost any, he said any problem in the world can be solved with the right sales letter. And I didn't believe that in the beginning. And the more I've been in this business, the more I realize if you need a kidney transplant, you can write something. In today's day and age, when it says a sales letter, that could mean a video. It could mean an audio.
Right.
This podcast is an example. If we spent an hour trying to educate people about something and offered to sell them something, which we're actually not going to do on this episode, maybe down the road we'll maybe suggest things. But, you know, this I Love Marketing podcast is simply going to be, you know, two guys that have done really well in marketing, that love marketing, share what it is they know. Why? Because we love marketing. This is a cool subject. You know, we like talking about it. You know, it's one of the, we could use, you know, audio to try to educate someone and then sell them something. I mean, because what is selling anyway? You know, so I think any business situation, if you do not have a sales letter, put it together. Write it, you know, sit down and create something that, you know, educates people, that explains the reasons why they should look at what it is you're doing, why they should buy, why they should acquire. And so many people will just do everything they can to avoid any sort of selling, and then they wonder why they don't have any money, they wonder why they don't have any business. And, you know, what I learned early on is, you know, go out and ask for the money, because I remember this great, story about John Lennon and Paul McCartney. And Paul, I think, was talking about how, you know, I remember people saying that the Beatles weren't capitalistic, and he goes, "That's not true at all. I remember sitting down with John and saying, 'Hey, let's write ourselves a swimming pool.'"
Right.
And, you know, meaning let's sit down and write a song, and the song will pay us royalties so we can buy a swimming pool. And, you know, and I always wanted to do that. So, I mean, a few years ago, I actually had a guy build a swimming pool for me in my backyard that I taught marketing to. So that was kind of cool. So I guess in a lot of ways.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, so you built yourself a swimming pool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, someone else built it for me, but I...
No, you wrote yourself a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Or talked to yourself.
I talked myself a swimming pool in that particular situation. But, so you can acquire, you know, I mean, hell, I mean, Bill Phillips, you know, back in 1999 gave me a, you know, brand new convertible Jaguar that cost, I think, $81,000 because, he made a few million dollars from, you know, one single marketing strategy I gave him. So, you know, all the same marketing ideas, and we'll go back and forth during the podcast on this in future episodes, but I ended up building this carpet cleaning business, turned it around, was originally thinking I was going to build it into the, you know, a large carpet cleaning company in Arizona. Then I decided I love marketing, so let me just stay totally immersed in that. I ended up selling the carpet cleaning company a couple of years after I first got introduced to the marketing. I went full-time into my marketing business, had a partner in the very beginning for like a year, and then I just literally bought this person out, and, Piranha Marketing was, in full throttle. And I ran an ad in an industry trade magazine offering a free report on, how to build and grow your cleaning company. And I would send that.
It's amazing how you take those same lessons that you
applied
to build your business that you moved into a completely different business.
Completely.
I'll tell you what.
What's that?
I was going to tell you what, is that we've come up to an hour.
Are we really already in an hour? Okay, well, here's the deal.
I'm going to get to save. I get to think for a whole week of how I get to one-up you with my early days success.
Yeah, during the next episode, Dean is going to be doing
the next episode.
Yeah. This will be the I Love Marketing feature. We should change the name to where it says Dean Jackson, Joe Polish. I really think we should do a vote. I think everyone that's listened to this in the comment section should vote. Should it be Joe Polish and Dean Jackson? Because I said in the very beginning, I wanted this to kind of be like Batman and Robin, where you're like Robin and I'm like Batman and I'm like the Lone Ranger and you're like Tonto. I mean, I don't really know. But I'd love the listeners to give us their, you know, their viewpoint on that.
There we go. So that, I think, is another successful episode. It's amazing how fast it goes.
Yes.
But I'm looking forward to next week because I'm going to share the same, I'm amazed at how similar so far our stories are, you know. I mean, getting to that point of really applying education-based marketing, that was the very first thing that I did as well. So I'm really looking forward to sharing that story, and you can see the similarities there. Of course,
yeah, can't wait. So thank you, Dean, and to all of our listeners, thank you. Give us your comments on if you're finding all of this extremely valuable, and go out and create some educational stuff and literally, you know, apply it, because you're not going to get any results if you don't take any action. So you'll hear that a lot, but, the idea is only useful if you use it. So thank you.
There we go. Okay, Batman, we'll see you here. Same Bat time, same Bat channel.
Awesome.
Bye.